We will continue our services this day with that continued prayer that God would yet again bless us with his holy and undying word. I thought I would read from the book of Numbers, from chapter 6. Verses 22 through 27, and we hear these words in Jesus' name. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Amen. These words that we heard, many of you have heard them, even you children that are listening, you have heard those words many times. Your parents, they have heard those words even more times. And your grandparents, perhaps they have heard those words thousands of times. So these are very familiar words of God that were written into the Old Testament over 3,000 years ago. And we heard in our text how the Lord spoke unto Moses. Moses was unique in this way that he was able to hear when God spoke to him directly. Our dear brother, just previously, he spoke of Jonah, and he related how the Spirit of God spoke to Jonah. I have, and perhaps you have too, sometimes wondered that of all the people that are written of in the Bible, I have sometimes wondered that who would I like to be and who would I like to meet? Moses is one of those that I would speak to him with great interest because he was able to hear and see God. He didn't see God as in God's glory. The Bible says that God hid himself from or covered the eyes of Moses with his palm, with his hand, and was only able to see parts of the glory of God. Maybe I have heard in the past how some say that they would really, when they get to heaven, they want to talk to Noah, that what it was like in Noah's time, that it must have been difficult and so forth. And I do know that I have never wished to be Job, who experienced a great amount of trials and health issues in his life. Yesterday, our dear brother Keith spoke of Jacob and how he spent 20 years of his life at his uncle's Laban's house to receive his wife, Rachel. So I don't think I would want to be Jacob either, 20 years is a long time to work. And after our brother Daniel's sermon, I don't know if I would want to be Jonah either, to be in that that belly of that fish for 3 days. But nevertheless, God spoke directly to Moses. Oftentimes, the scriptures, it speaks of how the angel of the Lord spoke, or that the Spirit came onto someone, or that they saw, or God gave them a dream, and then God spoke to them through that dream. So Moses was given this task, as I'm sure most of you know, to lead the people, God's people, the people of Israel, from the slavery and bondage of Egypt to the land of Canaan, to the other side of that river Jordan. And the scriptures relate how Moses, many, many times, he resisted God's will and questioned and didn't want to take on this duty that God wanted him to do, just as we heard through our brother Daniel's sermon about Noah, not so willing to take on and to accept the will of God. But as the Bible records unto us, Moses did then towards the at the very end, it says, the Moses said unto the Lord that, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent." And then he said that, that I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, "Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf, or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." So Moses did accept God's request. And you know that Moses was, from a very young boy, when he was a baby, right after he was born, he was placed in a little vessel into the Nile River to float. And Pharaoh, who was the ruler of Egypt at that time, his daughter went down to the river to wash herself and saw this little vessel with Moses in it bobbing in those waves, and asked that servant to fetch that to her, which she did. And Moses grew up in the house of the daughter of Pharaoh. And now God was gave Moses this command that to lead my people from the slavery of Egypt and go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I'm sure we can at least imagine what it would have been like for us to go to a ruler of a country and ask them to let my people go. But God hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh did not comply with God's request. So we know that the 10 plagues followed that event, or that they're following the response of Pharaoh, and God sent a great deal of pain and tribulation, not only to Pharaoh and his people, but all of the people that were in Egypt, except for God's children, were not afflicted in any way. So he eventually let them go. And they were now wandering there in the desert, in the wilderness, toward that promised land. And that is where the Lord spake unto Moses, and he said, "Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying on this wise, ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee." We can see in this text that God wants to bless his children. He wanted to bless those children of God there in that wilderness during their time there. And regardless of what they would experience, God blessed those that wished to be obedient. And God has also, in Scripture, he has promised us that he will never forget us, and he will always bless us. And often we thank God for the blessings that he has given into our lives, not only those things that we can, that we know and can experience and feel and see, but also those things that we are unaware of. There are more blessings that we don't understand than the blessings that we do understand that God gives into our lives. God is a rich God. He is rich in his gifts. He is rich in his blessings. And as we have heard so many times, God is rich in his grace as well. And we have perhaps in every sermon so far, we have in one way or another touched on that matter that this year is different from other years in our summer services, for sure, and in other ways as well. So our carnal mind then may be translating or wondering in this way, that has God blessed us less this year than other years because we cannot get together and enjoy the fellowship of believers in the same way that we are accustomed to. But all we know is that God saw it otherwise, and of course we don't understand the reason why God allowed this to happen. But one thing during this time of this COVID-19 is that God has still blessed us with his word. We have been able to hear God's word maybe even more than other times. And God has also made us aware that God is an all-knowing God, and we don't understand near everything about God, but we only understand a small portion, and that we are dependent on God's grace and God's will also. So when we think of blessings, we mentioned about Job earlier, how he was afflicted with so many trials and difficulties of life. Did God bless Job's life? He certainly did. Job died as a child of God. And in the New Testament, we have, for example, the rich man and Lazarus, carnally thinking. The rich man was blessed with many things in this life. He lived a life of abundance, but Lazarus did not. To our mind, their roles were the opposite. But at the end of the day, did God bless the life of that rich man, or did he bless the life of Lazarus? And I think all of you have the answer to that, that God certainly blessed Lazarus. And next to this greatest gift that we all, children of God, carry in our hearts, when we think of blessings, I'm sure you do as I do, I think of the blessing of my loving family, children, my spouse, the relatives, and the many friends that I have in Zion. And I have sometimes wondered that where would I be if it wasn't for my family and my believing friends. So also for those things we want to give thanks unto God for giving us those gifts, the gift of faith and our family and friends. But also, as our brother previous to this mentioned, there are many that have large families with little children. God has blessed you with children. Some of you, very many children in very short order. Those are blessings from God, gifts from God. But do they, every day, do they feel like blessings from God? Or can they sometimes feel that that is a trial of your faith? You have been obedient to God's word to be fruitful and to multiply. And God has promised to reward those God's children who are obedient to God and his word. The book or Apostle Paul writes to the Romans in the 8th chapter, I believe 18th verse, about that reward that the children of God will receive. So when we one day reach heaven, it is not for this reason that we have performed so well on this earth that God has rewarded us because we have been successful, but he has rewarded us because we have endeavored to be obedient to his word. I have thought sometimes in this way that when we as God's children, when I live in this life, wanting to put sin away as sin attaches and feel that peace and freedom in my heart, the peace with God, that's sufficient to me in this life, that I don't need anything else in addition to that once I pass from this life. I don't need anything else but to feel God's mercy and grace in this life. But that is the extent of the goodness of God and the grace of God, that God gives you so much more than you deserve, much more than you could ever imagine. The glory of heaven is such a place that we can't even begin to speak what heaven is like. So when we think of these blessings, I remember one of my friends, how he explained, or he related a story from when he was young in his believing home. And I believe it was during the time of the financial crisis, how one day his father told his family, his children, that we are going to lose our house and that we have to move out. And of course, the children didn't understand it, but the father said that God saw this to be good. And of course, in our minds, that would be the opposite of good. But he wanted to remind the children that we are yet in God's care. And even if we don't understand this, that this is still what God saw as best to happen. And there are few instances in the Bible that also that speaks to that. For example, Jesus says that those who are weak are strong. They are made strong. And how those who are sick are fortunate. And those who are poor, they are rich. So contrary to our mind, it's like an upside-down thought. But through faith, we still understand what that word of God, what it means unto us. Then our text continues, that the Lord make his face to shine upon us, to upon thee, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord make lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. These are such familiar words, and I do remember not long ago when I had a service turn in Cokato, I began my service with the Lord's benediction when I was really thinking about opening it with the Lord's Prayer. But yet these are, and I later realized that I had opened with, in my mind, which was the wrong prayer. But this is always the right prayer. The benediction as we know it in Finnish and in Swedish, they are called the blessing. It's called the blessing of the Lord. And the word itself, benediction, which is derived from Latin, bene meaning well or good, and then the latter part, which I can't pronounce, but it's translated into the diction or dictating means speech or a word. So these words are good words for us at any time. So towards the end of this benediction, we see, or we were able to hear about this prayer, which became a very personal prayer. This benediction we hear oftentimes or every time at baptisms and marriage, during the marriage ceremony and funerals and services and meetings. The writer here wants to, or the Lord, God here wishes to bring this to a very personal level. We can't believe on behalf of somebody else, nor can we instill any of our weak faith to somebody else so they may believe. But this is a personal faith that Lord, our God and our Lord would show his holy face unto us, and that we would see God and his Son, Jesus, in our home congregations, in our homes, and in our hearts. This prayer is a personal prayer. But, of course, it is so that we also pray this on behalf of other God's children. And also in this way that we, of course, in our hearts, we pray for those prodigal sons and daughters that are yet walking in the darkness of unbelief, that God would find them and bring them back into his flock. And perhaps you mothers and fathers who have children in unbelief may think at times that my child is so far out there or does not listen and so forth. One thing I do know is that our God, he can wake those who are dead into life. He can move mountains. And if he can do those things, God can find a searching heart, and he will lead them into his kingdom. But it is so that we all must believe very personally and not for one another. But we yet have this well-wishing and these words of God's blessing that we want every child of God to be recipients of. But most of all, in regards to this blessing as a child of God, I have been a recipient many times of God's blessing, and it is that message of the gospel that our brother just spoke of, that you mothers and fathers, you children, grandparents and great-grandparents, isn't it so that our journey garment becomes dusty and we need to wash that with the blood of the Lamb? You can uplift your hearts this afternoon hour, wherever you are, and believe all your sins and all your doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And if there is one who is outside of God's kingdom feeling that you are not partaker of God's grace also belongs to you, and you can uplift your heart and believe also the sin of unbelief forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And I would also like to say, as those older speakers have said in the past, wishing everyone well and to wish them a safe journey home. In Jesus' name, amen.